Okay, here is the final of the Chatur Shloki. The other step here is now that it is described about the process, about the process of devotional service. Etavad eva gitnasyam tatva gitnasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyam yasyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who's searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this is etava, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. This word sarvatra, in all space and time, has another meaning, which Prabhupada also uses, in every case. In all space and time, in every instance, in every case. Prabhupada again, continuing to unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga. The word unfold is a nice word in this case. To unfold the mystery. It means like a gradual revelation more and more, you know, as it opens up. To unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive, that this etadvat. Up to this point, and that Brahma has reached actually, up to this point, gignasyam, tatta gignasuna, gignas the inquirer, he calls it by the student, but the one who is engaged in gignasa, brahma gignasa. Now this kind of reflects, use this word, reflects the first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra. Ataha brahma gignasa. Now we begin with the inquiry into Brahman, gignasa. So here, this is the tattva. Tattva is another way of saying Brahman. By the student. So this is the highest objective. And then Prabhupada very interestingly says here, everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways. And it's true. We cannot help it as we're human beings. We just got weird ideas of what it means sometimes. Self-realization. By karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, and so on. Even when you get on the spiritual path, so many ways. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields. Here's this sarvatra sarvada, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, morals, and so on, and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life, tattva brahma jignasa. And the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point for the mystery of all inquiries. We can see why it is again called the author's own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma wants to be perfectly educated by the personality of Godhead. And here is the answer by the Lord, finished in four nutshell verses from Aham Eva to this verse, Etavat Eva. This is the end of all self-realization processes. Now, in a way, he says, why people do not know the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness. Yata avasa, yata tamaha. This is the phrase from Maya, which we learned in the second verse. And as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence driven by the uncontrolled senses. When they should be seeking Krishna, they're looking at the glitter in the darkness. The glitter in the darkness is the objects of sense gratification. We think they will give us satisfaction and self-realization. People fall in love, and you know what they say to each other? I didn't know who I was until I met you. Self-realization. Ever hear that line?
I'll try it sometime.
The whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification, desires based principally on the sex desire. The prototype of all pleasure, as he called it, sex. And the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entity is sense gratification. That's what they want. You ever see when a scientist discovers some new principle, and they describe in the newspaper, finally they say this beautiful discovery will allow us to have inner birth control. Some way they relate it to sense gratification. They always say, oh, allow us this, you know. You can't do that. There's no funding. There's no support. So I knew a guy, actually a friend of mine in college, studied chemistry, and then he went to graduate school, and you know, he spent, you know, all his years studying the mysteries of chemistry. And then he got a job with Revlon, designing lipstick and other cosmetics. Anyway, that's what happens. You know, so that a woman can have her lipstick that doesn't smear. But here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know it by its inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master, expert in the science of bhakti yoga, or, which is to say the same thing, from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Nice phrase, a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the answer to all of the various students of self-realization. He mentioned them, you know, the Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga. The ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. I mean, really, I thought you have to keep going. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Prabhupada says, from spiritual master or from a living personality or part of life. So is this a difference?
No, same thing. Or in other words, he means to say this, spiritual master, who is this? Not instead of, but... Or in other words, yes.
Also, it appears to me that in the beginning he's mentioning so many types of yoga, and there's bhakti yoga in the same list. He says bhakti yoga, etc. And later he says science of bhakti yoga. So
yeah, well, I don't think the list says he wants to... Notice this is a kind of... Yeah, everyone is searching from spiritual realization in different ways. So also we are searching by Bhakti Yoga. It turns out Bhakti Yoga is the one that goes all the way. Karma Yoga terminates in the heavenly planets, Jnana Yoga in the Brahma Jyoti, Dhyana Yoga, which I guess is, I don't know what that is, Raja Yoga, same thing. The best Paramatma realization. But if you want to go to Bhagavan, then this is Bhakti Yoga. And we can add more, right? We can add Kundalini, Chatipat Kundalini Yoga, we can add, you know,
Vikram Yoga.
Vikram Yoga, we can. Kriya Yoga, right? Paramahamsa Yoga, Kriya Yoga. Atma. Alright, we can mind. Okay. So great labor, it is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. There's always, in other words, with great labor or perseverance, but not without, seems like a little different from with. I'm never quite sure what the difference is. Puts it a little softer anyway, not without. That's not the main thing, but is a requirement. So, one who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic session from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. And so up to this, you know, means that you trace your succession up to Brahma and Krishna.
That's what up to this means.
Well, one of the multiple meanings of up to this, yeah. Yeah. That's the way Prabhupada is saying here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord acknowledged in that specific succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Here's the mention of this direct and indirect, which also has multiple meanings. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, still one requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and that is the direction in this verse. Bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord. One must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received from the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Then he mentions that the spiritual master in the bona fide disciplic succession never claims to be the Lord himself, although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord, in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. You should have highlighted that, right? How can he deliver the Lord? By his personally realized experience, is what he says here. The Lord is not to be found simply by education. Oh, a good, fertile brain. But surely he can be found by the sincere student, the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master. The word Prabhupada doesn't say translucent. It says transparent. So that means the connection is direct. Transparent medium is one that, in a way, you don't see. There's no obstacle or distortion. The revealed scriptures give a direction directly to this end, but because the bewildering living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness. See, he keeps referring to that second verse here. They are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. They look at them, they see the books, they read them, nothing happens. I guess by it. It's just got to be. And then he talks about the distortions in understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. I love this writing. Yet the interpretations of this great book of knowledge have so grossly been distorted that every student of the Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. And it's true. It's so true. Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, he points out, practically the same instruction is imparted as in the four prime verses of Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations of unauthorized verses, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. And then he has a few verses here from the Gita. So that's the direct instruction. Now, indirectly, here's where this word first comes in. I was looking for this earlier. Indirectly, it is said that the whole Vedic construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. And here, from this, this just seems to be the implication. Sarvata, everyone really, in some way or another, when they act, they are in their different capacities are also centered around God. And so here Prabhupada says this.
So indirectly means Vanashram system.
No, it doesn't mean, it means many things. Yeah.
Why Prabhupada says here indirectly to God?
I believe here because this system is the way that one gradually comes to the understanding of the Lord. There's another sense of the word directly that's primary, which these two words that are up here, anvaya and vyatireka, are terms used for in logic. What is the example? So-and-so, by following the process of devotional service, sees the Lord. That's a kind of a direct... Right. That's kind of a direct statement of how you see what you do to see the Lord. And the argument that's indirect is, and those who are not following never see him. So that's also an argument, huh?
It's a secondary.
Not secondary. So later on we'll see the sense is in vidhi and nisheda. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So the vidhi, what you do to realize God, is direct, and indirect refers to those things you avoid. So those are the two sides. But here he uses the word indirect just as to mean a kind of implication, because he says here, because each of the four varnas is situated on the body of the Lord, therefore everyone who acts as according to the Lord's directions in the Varna, is now part of the whole, and the whole body is sound. And as long as they are serving the Lord's, whole body conjointly. If they're not, he says the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the supreme consciousness of oneness. Universal consciousness is factually achieved by the coordinated service of all concerned to the personality of God, supreme personality of Godhead. Accorded by the service of all concerned. And that alone can ensure total perfection. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators, the great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, and so on, cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know. See, this is maybe this is the indirect part. Those who do not know this, are not able to come to this point because they cannot work together. Because here he talks about all these different, the philosophers, the politicians, the industrialists, the welfare workers, cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world. Isn't that good? The restless society of the material world. St. Augustine has this famous statement at the beginning of his Confessions, our heart is restless until it rests in thee. The restless society of the material world, because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in this verse of the Bhagavatam, namely that one must know the mystery of Bhakti-yoga. So that's the indirect. You get to the indirect part when you talk about these people not knowing that. Those who are connected and those who are disconnected. So you can see what happens to those people who are not properly on the path. They fail. Things fall apart. They're unsatisfied. Nothing works. So on. Anyway, this is because the so-called great leaders of human society are ignorant of this great knowledge of Bhakti Yoga and are always engaged in ignoble acts of sense gratification. Bewildered by the external energy of the Lord, they are stubborn rebels against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they never agree to surrender to Him because they are fools, miscreants, and the lowest type of human beings. That's not Prabhupada's language, that's Krishna's. This is a heavy statement, but Krishna said, Duskritina Mudha Narada Mahayana Mahayana Atapika Gyana. So if you ever preach like this and people get offended, you should say, now look, I really don't like it. But Krishna says this about you. Especially when you talk about, you know, if you're talking to an Indian audience about people who worship the Devatas, Alpa Meta something, he says they're stupid. Prithagyana, you know, stupid. Abudayaha, in their Mayavadis, Abudayaha, you know, he uses strong language, so apologize first, and then let them have it. I don't want to offend, but God says, is what you take it up with Him if you don't like it. This is a great diatribe here. Fighting with one another for sense gratification and all acquisitions of knowledge and science, philosophy, fine art, nationalism, economic development, religion, and great activities are being spoiled by using as dresses for dead men. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says again and again that without attainment of the sub-bhakti yoga, all activities of human society are to be considered absolute failures only. So this is indirect. If you look at this, you'll see But if it doesn't lead to this, you'll not make it. Then he talks about bondage and material bodies, and then he says this striking phrase: to become absorbed in the transcendental name, qualities, forms, and activities of the Supreme Person Vasudeva is to change the temper of the mind from matter to absolute knowledge. Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada, therefore comments on the words sarvatra, sarvada, in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga or devotional service to the Lord are apt in all circumstances. That is, bhakti yoga is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is performed by all authorities. It is important in all places. It is useful in all causes and effects, and so on. And now he mentions, he quotes from the Skanda Purana. And then another Pujanam Vasudevasya. By engaging in devotional service of the Lord, one gets out of this entanglement. Then he calls it a common passage because it's found in three Puranas: Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, and the Linga Purana, which runs as follows. By scrutinizingly reviewing all the revealed scriptures and judging them again and again, it is now concluded that Lord Narayana is the Supreme Absolute Truth, and thus he alone should be worshipped. Arodhya Sarva Shastrani. So, see, if you know, you can see that everything comes to this conclusion. So now he turns to the same truth is indirectly described in the Garuda Purana. Even though one may have gone to the other side of all the Vedas, and even though one is well versed in all the revealed scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he must be considered the lowest of mankind. You see, this is the other side of it. But those who do not come to this conclusion, who don't reach it, they are failures. So again, so Prabhupada cites several things about people who do not, the verdict on those who don't take this realization. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.8, one may be well versed in all the transcendental literature of the Vedas, but if he fails to be acquainted with the Supreme, then it must be concluded that all of his education is like the burden of a beast, or like one keeping a cow without milking capacity. It's fruitless.
This describes those academics you're talking about.
Yes, sure, definitely. Now, again, going to the fact that it's for everybody, we go back to this verse that we've already looked about, where the Shudras, the forest tribes, and so on. Devotional service to the Lord is open for all, regardless of who they are. That is confirmation of this application for all kinds of performance of the service. And now Prabhupada really goes into an extremely ecstatic state thinking about this. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord with perfect knowledge through the training of a bona fide spiritual master is advised for everyone, even if one happens not to be a human. The previous verse mentions that Tirya Jana, the animal people. And here again he finds, it is another quotation from the Garuda Purana, even the worms, birds and beasts, kita, pakshi, mrida, that's what it says, are assured of elevation to the highest perfectual stage if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers among the human beings? Now, I don't know how they get there, but you can do it. There are sometimes examples. So now here, now listen to this. Therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates. This is Prabhupada speaking now. What he was dealing with when he came to America. Therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. These are probably going to be great rhetorical periods here. That's nice. Then he quotes from the Bhagavad Gita these two verses, which we know well, Apichet Sudaracharo, and he translates this. I mean, look at this. Even if a person is fully addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, if he happens to be engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord under proper guidance, he has to be considered the most perfect holy man without any doubt, without a doubt. Thus, any person, whatsoever or whosoever he or she may be, even the fallen woman, the less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile man, or even a man lower than all of these, can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. Now you may say, can somebody fully addicted to sinful activities also take shelter of the Lord in all earnestness? Yeah, it's possible. Of course, if you do, that means that you'll be trying, like anything, to become free from those sinful activities. And maybe because of the past bad habits, one will continue to fall down for some time. But if one stays in the path, then there's no problem. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification. But as Prabhupada reminded, you suddenly take this verse as a license to commit sinful activities, then it won't work. Yeah?
I was just remembering Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisandarbha cites one of these two verses from the third canto with this, about, you know, even Nishvapachokan, if they're chanting the name of Krishna.
Yeah.
And he comments on it, he says that one shouldn't think lowly of this person, because this person is thinking more lowly of themselves than you could ever possibly think of them.
You know, these are the statements of Devahuti, Aho Bhattasho, Pachato, Garyan, the one before that. She says, Savanaya Kalpate, that this dog eater becomes qualified to perform the soma sacrifice. Savanaya means it's soma sacrifice. And then, you know, Ahobata Sopajato Gariyan, really in Sanskrit, it's shocking. How glorious is that dog eater, or dog cooker? How glorious is that dog eater on whose name? Doesn't mean that they're still eating dogs, but they come from that group where the dog burger is the... There's a big scandal in America. Actually, people got really shocked when they found that they were getting kangaroo meat from Australia to put it on. I don't know whether they love kangaroos or just they thought they weren't good to eat. People, when I lived in Taiwan, we were told to keep our dogs and cats inside because they would be stolen for the restaurants.
Did you believe that?
Yes. There are dog eaters, actually.
It's good for you.
It's very good for your health. Well, there's a famous story that Queen Victoria sent to the Princess Dowager, the Queen, the Dowager Queen of Manchuria, a beautiful, highly bred Pekingese dog with a real pedigree, you know, like a really valuable. You know, the Pekingese is like supposedly is a Chinese dog, right? So they thought they liked it. It's Chinese.
Small
Pekingese, huh? Small little dog. It has these round eyes and his, you know, anyway. So sent this. So when the dog arrived at the court of the Princess Dowager, first they were really puzzled why they sent this dog all the way from England. And then Victoria, Queen Victoria, was shocked months later when they received a thank you note that said, you know, thank you very much for the dog, it was delicious. This is stories told as an instance of cultural misunderstanding. So there are Swapacha. Anyway, Prabhupada said, the sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life, and unless and until such real earnestness is aroused. There was a word earlier for that. Vrinda, what was it? Vrinda.
Alkanti.
Prabhupada translates that as earnestness. Or earnestness of the heart. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning, in the material estimation. Fire is always fire, and thus if someone touches the fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will act in its own way without discrimination. And then he quotes the principle that the Lord can purify any devotee just as the sun by its powerful rays can sterilize all kinds of dirty things. And then ultimately, attraction for material enjoyment cannot act upon a pure devotee of the Lord. One does become purified if this earnestness of the heart is there. Where would you find it?
Yeah, it's 2634. Fida outcome of the heart which has outcome.
And so then Prabhupada very ecstatically quotes a number of verses about the how once the devotee has become absorbed in the Lord, he remains fixed in devotional service and never moves from the feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga is current. And that is the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. Everywhere means in every part of the creation of the Lord. Sarvatra. And then, if I were editing this, I'd make a paragraph change here. The Lord can be served by all the senses, or simply by the mind. Another idea. all the senses, all the mind, and then served by any ingredient or any common commodity, leaf, fruit, flower, water, or served by any of the hearing, chanting, reading, and so forth. So he's just giving ways of in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the result of one's own work. It does not matter what one does. Generally, men say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God. But that is not all. One should actually work on behalf of God as a servant of God. So the common idea that people think that, oh yeah, I'm serving God too. You have to... The Prabhupada says, do whatever you do, what you like, whatever may be easier for you. Eat what you may eat, sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice, give whatever you may give in charity, and do whatever you may undertake in penance, but everything must be done for Him only. So this is another, what he's talking about is the universality of devotional service.
Well, there's a little bit of a, you said whatever you eat, but there are certain things that are not applicable.
Yeah, what are you doing? I mean, he says you do it to please Krishna. So he doesn't say whatever you eat, eat what you eat, but do it in service to Krishna. So, oh, wait a minute, better back up a little bit. you have to do it to please Krishna. So therefore, you may have to eat tofu burgers. You like burgers. We can make burgers. We can make Bhima burgers, and we can make, have to give Krishna what he likes. And so, anyway, Prabhupada goes on in this way. Then citing a Kama Sarva Kamova verse, which you have already studied, by serving the Lord, all the demigods are taken care of. And so you can worship all the gods by this one simple way of worshiping Krishna. Otherwise, if you want to worship all the gods, you have to spend a lot of time going from temple to temple. So here we can cover all the bases at once. Rendering service to the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves every god and goddess without extraneous effort. The Lord is all-pervading, and therefore service unto Him is also all-pervading. Therefore, in all cases, namely nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive, and supportive, everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. These are the cases in the Sanskrit language. They have several more cases than we do. And have probably been the man who worships the Lord, that is the nominative, the Lord Himself who is worshipped, that is the objective, the direct object. The cause for which the Lord is worshipped, that's the causative or instrumental. The source of supply from which, that's the dative. The place where the worship is done, that's, I guess, supportive, locative, anyway. So I have everything involved in all cases. When you say in all cases, so then he says here the Sanskrit grammatical cases are all involved. Then, it goes on, we're talking about all times, even during the annihilation of the material world, the process of Bhakti Yoga can be applied. You think nothing is going on there, right? Kalena nasta pralaye vaniyam. The Lord is worshipped in devastation because He protects the Vedas from being annihilated. Then He is worshipped in every millennium or yuga. And then it's quotes from the Puranas. And then, this is a very nice verse, if you don't know it from the Vishnu Purana. Sahanistan mahatschidram samoha cha sadibramaha yan muhurtam shanam vapi vasudevam na chintayan. Even if for a moment, this says a muhurta, or the smaller unit, a shana, shana. Muhurta is a certain length of time. So you could say even for a moment or a millisecond, even for a second or a millisecond, if the Vasudeva is forgotten, that is the greatest loss, the greatest illusion, and the greatest anomaly. This is a nice verse, though. So at all times, the Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. See how Prabhupada is going through one after another of every single condition here. Prahlad did it as a child, and so did Dhruva, and as a full youth, Maharaj Ambarish, and in the last stage of his frustration in old age, Mahas Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamiya worshipped at the point of death, and Chittaketu worshipped the Lord even in heaven and in hell. Then in hell, from the Srika Puranas, you think it's no devotional service there? Yes, it is. That as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell toward heaven. It is nice to know that somehow or other, even in hell, you can chant Hare Krishna. If you happen to find yourself there. Some do. It has happened. Durvasa has supported this view. And he quotes Durvasa Muni. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell become released from their hellish persecutions.
Nice to know.
Nice to know. Yeah? I wonder if any preachers go there.
Do we have details of this story?
I don't know. I don't know anything more than what's here. But you could. We have people preaching in, you know, Sarajevo, you know, those kind of places. We go with it. Pretty hellish. Maybe not Pakistan. Yeah, we have devotees in Pakistan, actually. Yeah.
And if you say that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you do for me, then soon you'll ask us, may I do for Krishna?
I'm sorry?
If you say that is saying.
Yeah, well, I understand what you said. The conclusion.
Yeah. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, all the bad things also.
No, because Prabhupada explains, he had the same thing. I think, you know. You think Krishna made a mistake when he said that?
No.
He
just says,
yeah, he doesn't say
yet, kimchi. He doesn't say, yeah, okay. He says, yeah. What doesn't say whatever. It says what you eat. Not whatever you eat. Yet kimchi is whatever you eat.
Yeah.
So, and Prabhupada explains that this means that when you do as madarpanam, that means you have to say to Krishna, what do you like? Then what, after you do whatever Krishna likes, so you may want to offer Krishna on this day idli, next day
khichdi. That we have to add what Krishna wants.
Yeah, that madarpanam means what Krishna wants. How can it be madarpanam if he doesn't want? You want to, you know, a wife wants to make her husband happy, and she knows he hates broccoli. She doesn't keep offering broccoli. He doesn't like it.
So in bracket we have to say, this is the Vishnu one, within the subtle, whatever you like.
It's not so subtle. If it's not arpanam, as for my sake, as offering to me, then the offer means what you give. You offer somebody something, you give them what they want. It's a hassle in the material world when people give you what you don't want. Like when in America, when you get married, people give you presents, most of which you don't want. You have to find some way to get rid of them. Well, my grandmother, every year she'd get all these Christmas presents. And she'd save them, and the next year she'd take them and wrap them up and send them to somebody else. She didn't want them. So I imagine these same presents going round and around. We have to satisfy Krishna. And that's the conclusion. No, there shouldn't be any doubt about that. Mm-hmm.
Just one small story in this regard on the group distribution was one girl came and one devotee saw Shiva, she offered her a book and she said, "Oh, this is horrible books my mother just presented to me on last Christmas." She was like, said, "Yeah, but now you can take a revenge." She said, "You can buy and present it to her." So she bought a book and
Well, a good salesman can find any reason. Now Prabhupada returns to some a list of indirect indications. Again, if one is well versed in the Vedas and not a devotee, he's the lowest of mankind. He's really repeating something he's already mentioned. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penance if there's no devotional service? And so on. There's a list of those. Then he says the final conclusion, therefore, although this goes on for a little while longer, this purport, still the final conclusion is the glories of the Lord. Now he switches, you see, to the Sarvatra. The glories of the Lord must always and everywhere be always and everywhere proclaimed. So now this means must be preached everywhere. One should hear about his glories, chant about his glories, remember him to the highest perfectional stage of life. He talks about, again, he sort of goes back to the beginning as far as the fruit of work is concerned, limited to an enjoyable body. Yoga concerned, limited to mystic power. This is the attainment. See, now he's got Etavan, up to this, right? What is up to this? Up to a nice body? No. Up to mystic power? No. Up to transcendental knowledge? No. Up to salvation? No. But adaption of the transcendental devotional service to the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. The process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge, but in the higher stage, there is no necessity for knowledge. Now he calls this the cream of Srimad Bhagavatam and the foregoing four shlokas. Sometimes squeezed out by the impersonalists for different interpretations in their favor, but it should be carefully noted that the four shlokas were first described by the personality of Godhead himself, that is a person, and thus the impersonalist has no scope to enter into them because he has no conception of the personality of Godhead. Stay away. Why even quote them? If God doesn't exist, what are you... Why are you even bothering? The whole matter is explained by the Lord himself, and one who has no approach to the Lord in his personal feature can rarely understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam without being taught by the Bhagavatas in this succession. That's quite a nice purport. Really, really, it's all the basis of this one. Let me just check and see if there's anything. 56 in the CC, a person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly acquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. And here he's clear, with directly and indirectly, one must know the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. And he says that's why a spiritual master needs to know, he knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte devotee. They will not know. So somebody has to point out, this is the way to go, avoid this, stay away from that. Point them in the direction. You must learn the science and all its aspects. Again, he talks about different standards of what is the highest attainment. In America, it's common for people to, when they're really having a good time, they smile at each other and they say, it doesn't get any better than this. Right? If you hear that somewhere, you know you're in the wrong company. Or they say like that. They have no idea. One should therefore try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. He uses this phrase, purchasing a ticket. The price of such a ticket is one intense desire for it. That's that earnestness, sincere earnestness, which is not easily awakened. Even if one continuously performs pious activities for 1,000 years. So how do I get that desire? It comes from associating with devotees. Those that have more desire than we do. Then he has an interesting little take on again, the directly and indirectly existing everywhere. So directly existing everywhere, the spiritual world, where there are four relationships with the Lord, Shanta, Dasha, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. These perverted reflections of these rasas are found in the material world. So there's another place. Land, home, furniture, and other inert material objects are related in Shanta, or in the neutral and silent sense, whereas servants work in the Dasya relationship. A friend is Sakya. Parent for child, Vatsalya, conjugal love, Madhurya. These five relationships in the material world are distorted reflections of the original pure sentiments, which should be understood and perfected in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the material world, the perverted rasas bring frustration. If these rasas are reestablished with Lord Krishna, the result is eternal blissful life. But when they're invested in the material world, there's a dead end. You don't actually get your satisfaction. Then he says, from this and the preceding three verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. And then he says these 18,000 verses are summarized in these. In the first verse, Aham Evasa Evagre, the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy, Maya. And he gives a little gloss on this. The eternal relationship with living entities is explained in that verse. Through the next verse instructs, it's about Achincha Beda Beda Tatra. And finally, the next verse, the conditioned soul now must approach, ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds in his own at his own existential position. Here the word anvaya vyatikarekadyam, directly and indirectly, suggests that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. Okay, I put a little link in here. Yeah. Here's this verse, which is a good one to know. Smartavya satatam vishnur vishmartavyo majatachit sarve ditti nishet hatsyor etayor evakim karaha. Smartavyaha satatam vishnu, the Lord, Vishnu or Krishna, is always to be remembered. Vishmartavya majatachit, he is not to be forgotten at any time. Sarve vidhi and nisheda, all the vidhis do this and nisheda don't do that, are servants kinkara of these two. So the direct or the positive, the rule, the Prabhupada calls them rules and regulations. The positive is always remember Krishna, the negative is never forget him. So that's directly and indirectly. Okay, any questions? Yes.
We can go back to that text that we were saying.
Go back to what?
The previous text. There's quite a few verses from Prabhupada's book, at text 36. And I just wondered, where you explain that your prophet is saying that the lowest of human beings can be elevated to the highest stage of emotional life. And I understood that. However, I was wondering about this statement, second analogy, similar to the liberty of discharging love and emotional service to the Lord is invested in everyone, even the women, the sutras, the poorest tribes, or any other living beings born in sinful conditions. Mm-hmm. So at first my thoughts were, born in sinful conditions, maybe that's part of that samskara, but then it seems like that's not it. So what does that mean?
This is the translation of, I guess he's thinking of Papa Yone. Either as a result of previous sinful activities, that's one thing. One takes a birth as a result of previous sinful activities. Or one is, as a result of previous sinful activities, one takes a birth among people whose culture and habits, just like me, for example. I was told by my mother as a child I did not want to eat meat. But I took a birth where everybody understood that if I didn't eat meat, I would die. So I think a lot of children don't like to eat meat, actually. And so she had to mix it up with other things to disguise its taste. That's a Papa Yoni when that happens to you. Are you concerned about women as Papa Yoni?
Well, just in general. I mean, it wasn't just women. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that in this age, everyone is a sutra.
That's true. See,
that includes the men. So
that includes the men, not only the men, yeah, everybody.
So I guess I was just wondering about what that meant. It's just that I wasn't
clear. It's a birth which it puts you in a condition that is not very favorable for devotional service. And traditionally considered ineligible because of that birth. You're not able to do it. And of course what the Bhagavatam says when it gives a list of such people, it says, but they are eligible. It's kind of enfranchises people who were before excluded, traditionally excluded. This is very, very liberal.
Is this a part of the Sanskrit, this entire section of that verse? Or is that,
oh, let's go.
Is that Srila Prabhupada's comment?
Okay, let me see. Here's the verse that we saw here, right? Okay, number one happens. Yeah, the verse here we've already seen where it mentions a group of people. But the fallen women, the less intelligent labor, the dull mercantile men, is in the Bhagavad Gita.
Actually, that's not the verse. It's one before that. It's Shraddha Brahmani Nishmata. So that must be
11:11:18.
Maybe the one right before that. But that
doesn't say what you're talking about. Which one are we talking about? The Shraddha Brahmani Nishmata doesn't say that. The thing about the simple conditions is referring to
this here, right here.
Statement, not the previous statement.
This here. This meant the Stri, Shudra, Huna, Shabra. Huna is a hill tribe, but also the Germans. Germans are all considered sinful. If you ever been there, you know. these Apipapa Jivaha, whose lives are sinful. That's what this one here. This is where the animals are mentioned. Tiryakjana. See the Tiryakjana? Those are animals. Animal people. That's where it says that. This one here, this is from the Bhagavad Gita. Epishu papa yonahas, duya vaishastita sukras. Even those can attain the supreme destination. And the other one, apichet sudaraj, I don't remember the numbers of these from the ninth chapter.
30 and 31.
Yeah, 30. Are they really right? Yeah, right after one another,
yep.
Right? Uh-huh. Even if his behavior is very bad, if he's worshipping me, Ananya Bhav, you know, with undeviated attention, then consider him a sadhu.
About that conclusion, I'm just wondering about the sinful mentality. Is that a culture? Is that a part of an environment? Personally take birth in a certain environment.
Yeah, it is. It is, but that if one takes a birth in an environment that's not favorable devotional service, that's considered to be one of the results of one's past sinful activities in a previous life. Right? Right? So, you know, in Kali Yuga, everyone is in that condition. And increasingly so.
Sorry, those are
30
and 32.
Hmm?
Those are
30
and 32.
There's
one.
Yeah, there's one in between, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think one confusing thing is if Vedic culture, a woman takes birth in a Brahmin family, it's such an excellent facility.
Yeah.
So that's a little difficult to reconcile.
It's tougher to be a woman than it is to be a man. You don't know what it's like to have babies. To have to be protected by men, what a bunch. It's generally tougher. Right? And as a general rule, it's in the traditional major business of women, it is to have children and take care of them. Having children, you know, it is tough. And dangerous. I don't think any man can imagine what it's like to go through this, and then to raise children. You can't do it decently unless you get attached to them. Otherwise, the children may grow up a little whacked out. They have a detached mother, so for the child's well-being, it's necessary to become attached. And so, for those reasons, you know, the activities of spiritual life. I mean, just try. I mean, I've seen it when my wife was a pujari and taking care of the deities, and we had a small child still in diapers, the boy would wake up at a certain time, and nobody was around, and he'd come downstairs crying for his mother. Well, she was in the altar, and she would come out, and the boy would be quiet. She couldn't touch him, but she had to go back in the altar. He's a dirty kid. You know, I'm giving class and everything like that, so... that's why these spiritual activities are sometimes more difficult for women. However, in bhakti yoga, whatever disadvantages are there can be is powerful enough to affect detachment and everything like that. Those are usually the reasons it's considered not to be favorable. Yeah, if you're the wife of a brahmana, then it's better. But if you're a woman, you see them out there with the bricks on their heads and the little kids after them, it's a little tough. So you can always chant Hare Krishna.
So in this case, sinful acts are not just related to, let's say, sex acts. It could be sinful acts from the nectar of emotion. It could just be a condition.
Yeah, a condition that's caused by previous sinful activities, and that's unfavorable. Or just who your relatives happen to be, for example. Or the conditions of life you have to live in. Born above a bar. And, born in places that are in the mode of ignorance. Atlantic City. Your idea of achievement is to become a casino dealer. Anyway, there's just so many things are there. I mean, in Philadelphia, I know people who were born into basically Philadelphia Italian mafia families. I got a real idea what a papa is. From that activity, you know, people are just criminals, you know, without thinking twice about it. This is what they do. It's a normal means of livelihood. So as soon as you're, you know, when they're grown up, you start carrying little bags around of money from betting chips from bookie to, you know, betting parlors and so on. And you just move up the corporate ladder. Stuff. Still, they become devotees. Anything else?
Yeah. I was going to say sometimes there's that old joke, like I'm leery of any club that accepts me as a member.
Yeah, Groucho Marx. I wouldn't belong to any club that would accept me as a member. Right?
So, like, you hear this constant drumbeat of the glories of the God, of the Brahma Sampradaya in this particular section of Bhagavatam, and then I wonder, like, how did I end up in the Brahma Sampradaya?
This is Lord Chaitanya's particular mercy. Otherwise, we're just somehow rather fortunate. That Mahaprabhu was calm, and other people like Srila Prabhupada bothered to come in the West. He received the order to come, and he did it. Very one of few people in India thinking the people of the West were suffering. To this day, people in India still think it's the place to go. Happiness. Even brahmacharis in Mayapur think that. So heavy is that illusion. But people are suffering. Prabhupada do it. It's just an extraordinary thing. But having gotten at least the opportunity for entrance, we should try to become qualified members, not embarrass the other members. It's glove. Anything else?
Some people, they are good sometimes.
Huh?
Some people.
Yeah?
They are good sometimes. The Brahmacharis cannot understand this, what is Vatsal Vipraya and what is Kondivir Dao. They cannot understand this. How is this true?
They can't understand what? What is
Vatsalya and Vatsalya Rasas.
Without that name.
I don't understand. They don't have no personal experience of, you know, conjugal love or parental affection.
Well, maybe they're better off. Because a lot of people, their taste of those things is so bad, then they become impersonalist. But sometimes people don't, that's true. Yeah. We just have to learn it the right way. You know, from
and we said that someone may know by hearing, by seeing, by doing. They can just be hiding.
No, because you can read, you can find out. You know why go to Bollywood movies to find out about conjugal love? You just read the Krishna book, and to find out what a mother is, a real mother.
Yeah, I was so bad.
You have to study Mother Yashoda.
I just had thoughts on the previous discussion about the Papayoni and how there's different angles you can look at it. Because on one hand, we can kind of, that could be used as an excuse for, you know, that actually we can't come up to the standard. You know, mm-hmm. It can be overemphasized.
Yeah, but the whole verse says you can, right? But
last night I was just reading a whole stack of quotes from Prabhupada lecturing in Bhagavad Gita, these verses 640 to 43 about Purvabhyasena from previous practice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's commenting there. He says, I tell you directly that you American boys, you are coming now because you've been involved in this culture in previous life. And he's really emphasizing that. And then he's saying, now you're getting another chance by Krishna's mercy, so now finish up and don't make any mistake again. So that can also, it's kind of like must be a mix, you know. That
of course, yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah, generally nobody comes to Bhagavad Gita without some previous thing. Even said somewhere that his disciples of America were somehow or other former associates of Lord Chaitanya. I don't know what kind of associates. But there's plenty of them who turned out to be, you know, like for example, there are certain sons of Advaitacharya who are deviants, and they had all their followers and everything. And, you know, you could imagine. One may have been one of those associates and who committed some terrible offense and everything, and it has to.
In Chaitanya Bhagavad, it says it's describing the appearance of Mahaprabhu's associates in East Bengal and some in West Bengal, and then also Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Mahaprabhu's associates will be born. Well, Prabhupada says in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu's associates are now taking birth all over the planet.
Mm. Yeah, maybe it's a kind of a positive thing. You keep taking birth because you didn't have a qualification, and the positive thing is you're there when the time comes to respond to the call, like sleeper agents and terrorist cells or spies who stay hidden for a long time until activated by the government. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah. Well, how is Sunday doing? Is it Monday or Sunday?
It is Sunday, because we had our Sunday was Nityananda's appearance day.